1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we discussed this morning, next Sunday is going to be a special day. It's our day of fasting and prayer as a church. It is our Give It All Sunday, and it is time change. We move the clocks up an hour. One of those things alone is a big deal. And then putting two or three together in one day is going to make for a special day. And I just, you know, when you get into a big project, you evaluate it, you look at what you might need and what it's going to cost or what it's going to take to get the job done. And sometimes there's preparation. Maybe a little while ago on my truck, I was having problems. I didn't have heat in my truck. And that wasn't a problem during the warm months, but when it got cold, that was a problem. And so I tried a couple different things and replaced the hoses, kept refilling the antifreeze, and then realized that the radiator had a big crack in it on the top. And so, no big deal, you just order a radiator. And I thought, well, I'm going to try that. How hard could it be, right, to put a radiator in? So I watched a YouTube video. And you're laughing. I don't know why you're laughing. So they brought their brand new truck out where their bolts, you know, the guy's undoing it by hand. And I'm like, looks easy, right? I watched the first, I don't know, it's maybe a 6 or 7 minute video to replace a radiator. Whole video is 6 or 7 minutes. So I figured, after about a minute and a half, I saw enough that I needed to see that I can do this. So I was prepared, and so I got extra fluid. I waited for a nice day, and then I got into the project and realized I was not prepared. The second bolt snapped, and that's when I called my mechanic, and I said, this is what's going on. I don't want to get into next Sunday and realize I was unprepared. I'm not sure how well we could prepare for such things, but I do want to make mention and at least draw our attention to some of the things that we might be experiencing next week that might be a little abnormal than what we normally experience. Why don't we pray and then we'll get into tonight's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the songs that we could sing, and God, hallelujah for the cross. And God, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that all glory goes to you. And Lord, I pray as we look at the scriptures tonight that it'll be a help and an encouragement. Lord, help us to be aware of what actually is going on. Lord, we do love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want you to get into the project next week and realize, oh, I'm in over my head. Because the things that we're going to be dealing with next week might be toiling on us, but in the long run could be quite beneficial for eternity's sake. So as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we're reminded as we look at this passage that we're more than just what we see. I identify you by what I see, but there's much more to you than that. There's more to you than the outward appearance. You actually have a soul, and you actually have a spirit. Now, I know you can't necessarily see those things, but we have to recognize that as people, we have those. And what we're going to be dealing with possibly next week, or can I, by the end of the message, we'll realize that this is something that goes on a daily basis, whether we admit it or not. But what we'll maybe be experiencing more than normal at a higher level maybe next week is the war between the soul and spirit against our body. Our body, for the most part, dictates what it is that we do and how we act. Tonight at maybe 10:30 or 11 o'clock, whatever your bedtime is, your body indicates it's time to lay down. Tomorrow morning you wake up, whatever your wake-up time is, 6 or 7, and your body will say, it's been a while since I've had any nourishment. Right? We'll go to the store maybe tomorrow or sometime throughout this week and see something that's not on our list, but that our body says, you need that. Right? Whether it be intense chocolate milk or a new sweater or a new pair of shoes or a new whatever it is, or you can justify it and go to Goodwill. It's not new, it's used, and therefore it's less, and I can get more of those things. Whatever it is, but your body is going to tell you how to act throughout the week. And we listen. We listen to it. We pay attention to it. Saturday mornings when we don't have anything going on and the alarm, or you wake up and you look at the clock and it's your normal work time and it's like, no, I don't have to get up today. And you go and you sleep for another hour, hour and a half. And what's happening is that our soul and spirit go against what our bodies say. And most times we give time to what our body says. We'll walk through the kitchen and our stomach says, yeah, you can have a little snack right now. And we stop in between meals. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. We've only eaten just a couple hours ago and we'll probably eat in another couple hours, but there's pretzels in the cupboard and now I'm going to do something. If we look over at Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38. Look at this. It says, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. How many of you have ever experienced that phrase? Yes. Maybe you set your clock 15 minutes ahead. You heard testimonies tonight. I'm just playing out a potential or possible scenario. You heard testimonies tonight of Bible reading and you realized, you know, I didn't read that much this week. So tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to take some extra time and pray and read. And truly your spirit is willing. But when that alarm goes off, your body says you could have 15 more minutes. You could have 30 more minutes. Truly, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And we have a hard time saying no to that. And that's the thing we fight every single day. All the time. You know, we talk about this a lot, about walking in the spirit. You know what walking in the spirit is? It's, you know, we're trying to, let me try and illustrate it like this. Sometimes in our mind we feel like, and there's two scenarios here, and I want you to try and see this. The spirit is this race car, if you will, and I'm trying to keep up. That's not it. Spirit of God is much like the engine of a train. It's powerful. And I just need to hook up to it and allow it to lead me and guide me. But instead, I'm trying to race myself and try and keep up with something. That's not how it goes. The power of God is what's going to keep us going straight. Look at Galatians chapter 5. couple thoughts about that, and then we'll get into the battle, if you will. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. What does it mean to be walking in the Spirit? Well, number one, we need to be, as Galatians 5:18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Number one, we have to understand walking in the Spirit means that we're going to be led of the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit of God dictates where it is that we're going. We are simply a passenger train behind the engine. And where it goes and what track it goes, that's the way I go. Why? Because I'm simply just hooked up to the power of God. Led of the Spirit. John chapter 15. Go there. John chapter 15. To walk in the Spirit, number one, we need to be led of the Spirit. But number two, John chapter 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. To walk in the Spirit, number one, we have to be led of the Spirit. But number two, we have to allow the fruit of the Spirit to come through us, to make itself visible in us, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us. So that's what we're battling. We're battling our natural wills and affections and desires versus what it is that God is trying to do in our life. And that's what we fight every single day. This Sunday, that battle is going to be heightened. Why? Because some days we choose not to step on the battlefield. Some days we choose not to fight. Some days I choose to just say, no, it's just not worth it today. I'm just tired and I'm just not fighting. Well, on Sunday, we're not only stepping on the battlefield, we're stepping on the front line. Because in every area of our flesh, we're telling it no. Every area. From the moment we wake up, we're already an hour less asleep. Number two, your body will immediately say, you need food. No, not this day. Can I tell you? Again, in no offense to anybody, we can all go physically, unless there's major medical, without a day of food. No one will die. Here. We're not that close. But our flesh doesn't like it. And then thirdly, give it all Sunday. A week's worth of pay? Are you kidding me? Do you know how hard I have to work? Do you know where we are financially? Do you know what's going on in this world? Do you know? I'm telling you, you're not just stepping out onto the field. You're stepping on the front line. And you're saying, bring it. We've got to be prepared for next Sunday. Say, how can you possibly be prepared? Just being aware that there's a battle going on. You cannot approach next Sunday as any other day. It's going to take some time. You're going to have to mentally think about some things. You're going to have to mentally tell yourself, this Sunday's not like every other Sunday. This day's not like every other day. There's a battle between my spirit and my flesh that is going to be very much in the forefront of my face. Growing up in, I went to a public school the first 11 years of my life. I saw a lot of fights in school. On purpose. Like we would hear that there was a guy wanting to fight another guy, and we would all go watch. Because we wanted to see who would win. And some guys got there and realized he's a lot bigger in front of me and would run away. And some guys would, well, dig their heels in and realize what a bad decision it was. And sometimes when that battle comes between our flesh and our spirit, Many a times we just run away. It's just easier. You're right, it's easier. But it's not better. That's a battle worth fighting. There's not a lot... Husbands and wives, you understand, some battles just aren't worth fighting over. Hey, you put the fork upside down inside the dishwasher. I can let that one go. Don't you know? Sometimes battles between parent and child. That's not the hill I'm going to die on. But there'll never be a time when your flesh and your spirit go at it, and when you back out and say, you know what, I'm just not willing, you just made the wrong decision. The battle between the two. John chapter 3. I just have a few... points, just a few thoughts. But the majority of the message has already been said. You understand that we have to consciously be aware that our body's going to lie to us, that our lack of faith or doubting is going to lie to us. And we're going to have to say no. John chapter 3 and verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Say, what's the point of that? There are real two natures. To be born of the spirit is through Christ alone. And the minute that we're born of the spirit, that battle starts. That war starts. We never had to fight the spirit when we were lost. We never had to say no to the flesh and suppress the Holy Spirit of God. We never had to deal with that before. But once I got born again, and that spirit was given life, because before it was dead. But once it was given life, now, every single day I have two natures. I'm almost naturally bipolar. I have split personality. One is the will of God and one is Nick Russo's will. And I'm telling you, I can't think of many times when those two things were the same. Because what I want to do is easy and comfortable and laid back. And what the Spirit wants me to do is to stand up and have faith and not doubt and press forward. There's two separate natures. And it's not a physical battle, but it is the battle of will. Whose will am I going to succumb to? Whose will am I going to yield to? Mine or God's? Last month, it's a small thing, but last month, on February 10th, we had our first day of fasting and prayer. And man, at about it's probably about 10:30 in the morning, started getting a headache right about here that wrapped around the back of my head. Say, what was that? That was the lack of caffeine in my brain saying, I need caffeine. Every single day I have a cup of coffee. Maybe two. Every single day. And on February 10th, it became very apparent to me that something else had control of me. I didn't like it. So since then, I've had just two or three cups of coffee, never 2 days in a row. Now, I haven't had coffee all day today. If you know me, you're like, whoa. Our staff is like, are you all right? Like, is everything okay? I know it's a small thing. But it's just another instance. And I don't know what's in your life, but there's something that if you said no to, the Holy Spirit of God would reveal to you, that's got a lot stronger hold on you than you thought. So this battle isn't just a battle of, well, a loss of an hour of sleep. This is a battle of will. And it is a battle worth dying for. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You'll never be sorry that you've walked after the Spirit. You'll always be sorry when you walk after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Freedom. Freedom. That's what's experienced by walking after the Spirit. A transformed life. I am no longer bound to sin. I am no longer bound to my flesh. I've been separated. I've been transformed. It actually allows us, as verse 4 says, to walk in righteousness. In verse 8, we'll just keep reading. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Isn't that true? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verses 6 and 7 are, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. You know what that is? That's a person whose life is and whose spirit's been set free from sin, but still lives bound to the flesh. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's the problem that they were having. They were carnal. That's spiritual, awakened or alive people living like and giving attention to the will of the flesh. But we ought not to live like that. Our life has been set free from that. Because our life has been transformed. We are freed from the power of sin. John chapter 6. The battle between the two natures. Number one, they're separate natures. Number two, we've been transformed. John chapter 6. Say, Pastor, this morning, all your point started with P and it was nice and easy to follow. I'm sorry. That's not tonight. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. John 6, 63. The flesh profiteth what? Can we read that again? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That means to be made alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. And you might be thinking in your mind, that's not true. Comparatively speaking, it is. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See, this is the difference between eternal versus temporal. When I do the things of the flesh, you know when that ends? With this life. It's over. When I do the things that are led of the Spirit and by Spirit of God, you know the benefit of that and how long that lasts? Eternally. There's a big difference. One has consequences and fails and stops when I stop taking a breath. One far exceeds and goes well beyond some of those benefits I'll never even see in this life. The benefit of walking in the Spirit or giving attention to the spiritual things is eternal. It's the difference between eternal versus temporal. One ends with this life, one continues on. So many times we give such efforts to that which is temporal. Our whole life is consumed with the things that end here. Getting the newest, getting the fastest, getting the biggest, having the best, experiencing, even as a Christian, the best that this world has to offer. You can't do that and this. And so much of our efforts go towards the temporal. And it's days like Sunday that are going to remind us of that. And the Holy Spirit's going to remind us and reveal to us and show us just what it is that has a stronghold in our life. And we can pretend and we can stick our head in the sand and pretend that that's not real. Or we can say, I just got to deal with this for 24 hours. Or we can take it as a real strong life lesson of I'm not where I thought I was. I'm not as spiritual as I thought. Because I give a lot more attention to the flesh. How do you know? Because today I told it no, and it was a battle unlike anything I've ever fought. I gave more money than I ever have. I didn't eat anything all day. And I'm short an hour of sleep. In the grand scheme of things, what is that? We're going to think the world's coming to an end in a week. The apocalypse is upon us. Because for 24 hours I told my flesh no. Welcome to real Christianity. That's it. That's how we ought to be living. Every single day. Which brings us to our next point. Romans chapter 7. This is daily. This isn't once a month. This isn't once a week. This isn't once a year. This is every single day. Saying, you want me to stop eating every day? No. But Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Paul says, every single day I fight this battle. Every single day I'm doing Well, I'm not doing what I should be doing, and I'm doing what I ought not to be doing. I'm wasting time on temporal things, and I'm not giving the attention to the things that are eternal. And I do it every single day. Do you understand that it's a conscious effort in our minds to regularly and daily follow the Holy Spirit of God as it leads us? Please understand that this isn't a once-in-a-while occasion. This needs to be our normal. This battle doesn't stop when we get a victory. Woohoo! I quit smoking. It's great. What's next now? What, another bat? What? It doesn't stop. It stops when you get to eternity. And we shed this flesh, and we put that on that which is incorruptible. Galatians chapter 5, just a couple more verses. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See that? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Do you see? They're enemies. It is a real battle. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Sounds like Romans chapter 7. This is a real battle. And on Sunday, church, we're stepping on the front line. Saying, I'm gonna tell the flesh no right to its face. All day. Tremendous. May I encourage you to do that, and I'll be right there with you. And there might be down points, there might be high points, whatever it is. But that's what we ought to be doing every day. Galatians chapter 6, right on the same page. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Which helps us prepare for Sunday. So how do I prepare for such a battle? Well, if we were going into battle, or if we were changing our radiator or whatever it was, I would have all the tools ready, and I would have all the parts ready, and I'd watch the video over and over again to make sure that I'm capable of doing those things. Hey, do you understand that on Sunday we have to mentally prepare? What does that mean? Or physically prepare, spiritually prepare. This week, get ready for that. Get ready for battle. Hey, if you're preparing for a race or a long run, you don't just wake up one morning and go, I think I'm going to run a marathon today. No. It takes time to get up to that point. Hey, on Sunday, Saturday night, tell your family, hey, we're going to bed early tonight. Why? It's the weekend. It's only 9:30. It's 9 o'clock. I understand that. But we're going to lose an hour's sleep tonight, and I want to be ready for tomorrow. And actually, tonight, we're not going to watch any TV tonight before. But we always watch a family movie. I'm just telling you what it sounds like at our house. But we always, I want to watch a, and they bring out this family movie, which means nothing. No. No family movies. Why? Because I want to mentally be ready for the next day. It's not lending me to think spiritually. So there are things that we could do. There are some ways that we could prepare spiritually. We could feed our spirit this week. Not just on Saturday night, but all week. All week be in the Bible every single day. Because he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But you want to have a rough battle on Sunday next week? Feed the flesh all week this week. Oh, man. That's going to be tough. My grandparents, I don't see very often. Shortcoming on my part. They only live an hour and 10 minutes, hour and a half away. And every time they see the kids, they're like, wow, kids got so big. What have you done? We just feed them. And they just keep growing. Wow, you're so spiritual. How'd you know that? Why do you always have such wisdom in your answers? Just feed it. Hey, why can't you make a right decision for anything? Because I just keep feeding the flesh. Can I help you? Don't make major decisions if you have not been feeding the Spirit. You're not going to make good life decisions. So our conclusion tonight, physically, mentally, spiritually prepare. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Last verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. What can I expect? What can I expect next week? Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's what we're looking to do. For a day. That's 24 hours. Honestly, it's not. It is a big thing, but in the grand scheme of things, what's one day? But I'm glad that one day, for one 24-hour period, in every area I can, I'm going to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Say, what's it going to happen? I don't know. Maybe the Lord's just pleased by it. And that's it. Say, you don't think hundreds are going to come to Christ? I don't know. But I know He'll talk to me personally about things. And He'll reveal things to me. So if maybe you were on the edge about some of it, if I could encourage you to get it all in next Sunday. Maybe Thursday night, Friday night, you go to bed. Say, it's just an hour. I know. But you change anybody's schedule by an hour and some people go crazy. Can't handle it. Maybe eat a little less this week. I would not recommend gorging yourself at 11:50 Saturday night. I'm going to pack in as much food as I can to sustain me for the next... That's not how it works. You're going to have a rough Sunday. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I know we only do it once a year, our Give It All Sunday. But it might reveal something to you about your finances that you don't like. Hey, you can pretend and justify it away or whatever, or you could be honest. I know it's a small thing, but again, in February, when I had that splitting headache and I was like, I don't like this. I don't like that a drink has such a sort of power over me. I'm not saying you got to do that. I'm just saying the Lord revealed something, a flaw in me. Maybe He'll touch your heart about something. If I may be as bold to say, if we're asking, He'll tell us. He will touch your heart about something. The question is, who wins that battle that day? Let's have our youth choir tonight.